Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Vice President Kamala Harris spoke today in South Carolina about the Biden administration's expansion of high-speed internet access, although it didn't help matters that the live stream started like this. And we're live.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to musician Niall Horan of NBC's The Voice. But first, a closer look.
Fox News has apparently barred its own anchors from covering a billion-dollar lawsuit against the company that revealed its on-air personalities knowingly lied to their viewers about the 2020 election. Meanwhile, Fox also gave airtime to Marjorie Taylor Greene to defend her call for a national divorce between red states and blue states. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. You will often hear those on the right say that the so-called elite corporate media lies to its viewers, although I personally find it a little odd that they complain about the media being corporate elitist when their favorite network has a giant headquarters in Midtown Manhattan and is owned by a mega corporation run by a media mogul who is one of the world's richest oligarchs and the main villain from the second Crocodile Dundee movie. Yes, well, I can see that's a knife, but I'll tell my viewers it's not a knife. Who do you think they're going to believe? No, obviously, I'm not going to say the media never gets stories wrong or that you can't disagree with them. You can, as Senator Bernie Sanders did recently without even saying a word.
We also have one of the most innovative healthcare systems when it comes to creation of pharmaceutical drugs. You were doing this.
Bernie uses his index finger the way a samurai uses a sword. If he raises it, he has to wag it. You know, by law, he actually has to carry a license for it and keep it in a tiny little holster. What I appreciate about Bernie is that there's just no guile with him. It's the opposite of a Jedi mind trick. If Bernie had been in that cruiser with C-3PO and R2-D2, the scene would have gone much differently. These are, in fact, the droids you were looking for, but I'm not going to let you take them, and here's why. The top 1% of stormtroopers already have 99% of the droids. But there is. There is a massive difference between criticizing the media for limiting the scope of debate and claiming journalists as a whole are engaged in a broad conspiracy to lie to people, as Bernie explained.
Do you worry when you talk about the corporate media that you are targeting journalists when
No.
you say that?
No. Donald Trump talks about fake news, and that's simply to deflect attention from the fact that he's a pathological liar. My experience one-on-one with media, they work hard. They very rarely am I misquoted. But what I am talking about, Margaret, is that corporate media limits the kind of debate that we have in this country. Mm-hmm. You tell me, you know more about it than I do. How often do we talk about income and wealth inequality?
We're talking about right now, Senator.
Yeah, but how often? Not everybody is Bernie Sanders on your show.
And, you know, Bernie will go on any show if you're willing to let him talk about income inequality. Bernie would fully do the Masked Singer if it meant getting his message out. Bravo, good guess, but now the bad news. Anyway, the point is there's a difference between good faith media criticism and claiming journalists are engaged in a nefarious conspiracy of lies, as the right often does. In fact, as it turns out, they're the ones knowingly lying to their viewers, as we found out from a recent court filing and a billion-dollar defamation suit against Fox News.
A stunning new court filing revealing how top talent and executives at Fox News trashed Donald Trump and ridiculed his legal team and their 2020 election conspiracies behind the cameras, all while hyping those same conspiracies on the air to their viewers.
Fox staff were privately blasting the big lie as BS, insane, mind-blowingly nuts, reckless.
As Trump lawyers Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell were making wildly false claims about rigged voting machines after Trump lost in 2020, private communications reveal that pro-Trump voices at Fox News were calling it nuts. Watching Giuliani, Rupert wrote in an email, really crazy stuff and damaging. Sidney Powell is lying, by the way. Tucker Carlson wrote to fellow Fox host Laura Ingraham, I caught her. It's insane. Ingraham responded, Sidney is a complete nut. No one will work with her. Ditto with Rudy. That whole narrative that Sidney was pushing, said Fox host Sean Hannity, I did not believe it for one second.
They were all communicating privately about how insane the big lie was while turning around and hyping that lie to their viewers. When I first read those quotes, I was honestly speechless. I just wish I had a way to communicate my disapproval without words. Oh! Senator, please put that finger back in its holster. You know, when he's over my shoulder like that, he looks like the Angel Bernie telling me not to do something bad. Angel Bernie, should I lie to my viewers and tell them Trump won the election? Oh. Oh, but that must mean there's a Devil Bernie on my other side telling me to go for it. Let's see. Devil Bernie, should I lie to my viewers for ratings? Oh. Oh, no. You guys, this is what happens when we take a week off. We lose our focus and we have two birdies on screen at the same time. The point is, the very same Fox News anchors who constantly accused the so-called mainstream media of lying were themselves lying to their viewers and were admitting behind closed doors that they were lying to their viewers. And the supposed evidence they were getting for all these claims was transparently insane on its face.
Before one interview with Trump lawyer Sidney Powell, in advance, she told Fox that her single source for these election claims was a person who does, quote, time travel in a semi-conscious state. Let me repeat that. Their source, now at the heart of this defamation claim, at a time when the lies led to violence, was someone who said they knew what they knew because they got it by experiencing time travel in a semi-conscious state.
If Sidney Powell had a time-traveling friend, why didn't they tell her turtleneck sweaters were out of style? Fun fact, Sidney wore that outfit at the press conference where Rudy's head started to leak. You guys remember that? A day professional hair and makeup artist now referred to as their Pearl Harbor. Of course, Rudy doesn't use professional hair and makeup artists. I save so much money when I do it myself. Rudy, one of your eyes fell off. Double-sided tape my ass! And can I say if Fox News had a time traveler? I always thought it would be Rudy. I mean, look at him. He always looks like he just got back from the year 3000. Of course, in Rudy's version of Back to the Future, he travels back in time to make sure his parents never met. If they never marry, my first wife won't legally be my second cousin. Get it? Rudy, if they never meet, you'll never be born. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. But that's right, Fox aired an interview with a crazy person who told them in advance that her only source for her election fraud claims was someone who supposedly time-traveled in a semi-conscious state. Was there any follow-up? Man, Sidney, it would help if you had a second source here. I have a haunted antique doll who sometimes speaks to me, but sadly, she's pretty convinced Biden won fair and square. Yeah, she's being a real bitch about it. My favorite part of that time travel story, by the way, is that the Fox anchor who received that information then passed it along to the Trump family.
Not only did they air that, but the host, Maria Bartiromo, welcomed that lawyer, Powell, knowing that she had this made-up conspiracy theory. And then, that's not all. The Fox anchor then steps in as a conduit to take that information back to Trump family members, quote, responding to the lawyer, Powell, that she shared this important info with Eric Trump.
Man, if there's anyone in the Trump family who would be excited to hear that time travel is real, it would be Eric Trump. thank you for sharing this important info, Maria. I will use it to travel back in time wearing a mask of my father's face to have a catch with my 7-year-old self. I think that will fix everything. I will also intercept and replace that birthday card he once gave me that said, happy whatever. Why does Hallmark even make those?
The lawsuit also alleged that Trump himself tried to call into Fox on January 6th, but that Fox refused to put him on air, presumably because they knew what he was saying was dangerous. According to CNN, Trump tried to call into Fox News after his supporters attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, 2021, but the network refused to put him on air because it would be irresponsible to put him on the air and could impact a lot of people in a negative way. That is the most polite euphemism I've ever heard. That's like Hannibal Lecter describing himself in his Tinder bio as a foodie with an adventurous palate. So Fox knew this was all BS, and yet they were hyping it to their viewers anyway. In fact, they were even trying to punish others at the network who dared to correct the record.
When Trump falsely claimed that Dominion machines cost him 2.7 million votes, Fox reporter Jackie Heinrich responded with a tweet saying, Dominion voting and top election infrastructure officials categorically deny this. Some of Heinrich's colleagues at Fox wanted her to be punished, even though they knew that what she was saying was true. Please get her fired. Seriously, Tucker Carlson wrote, host Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity, it needs to stop immediately, like tonight. It's measurably hurting the company. The stock price is down. Not a joke.
So next time Tucker rails against corporate media, remember, he does the news with one eye on the stock ticker. He's always checking on Fox's stock price as well as his other investments like the Bowtie Emporium and M&M's. But Tucker isn't news. He's entertainment, and he knows his audience doesn't want the truth. They want their stories. Tucker telling the truth would be like Kylo Ren turning to camera mid-threatening monologue and saying, I'm not really Kylo Ren. I'm Adam Driver. You guys know me. From Girls. None of this is real. It's just for fun. Anyway, back to space. Fox viewers didn't want the truth then, and they don't want the truth now, which is why no one on Fox is talking about the lawsuit. Yesterday, one of their anchors said on air that the company had told him he couldn't cover the lawsuit despite his strong objections.
Some of you have been asking why I'm not covering the Dominion voting machines lawsuit against Fox involving the unproven claims of election fraud in 2020, and it's absolutely a fair question. I believe I should be covering it. It's a major media story, given my role here at Fox. But the company has decided that as part of the organization being sued, I can't talk about it or write about it, at least for now. I strongly disagree with that decision, but as an employee, I have to abide by it. And if that changes, I'll let you know.
So Fox is censoring its own anchors now. What's next? Are they going to replace Sean Hannity with that Microsoft chat box that started going haywire in everyone? What are they going to do, program it to say the word woke over and over?
Welcome to Hannity. Tonight's top story, woke Legos are taking over woke M&M's, woke textbooks, woke potato head, woke Dr. Seuss, woke.
And yet none of these revelations seem to have changed anything over at Fox. They're still doing their usual thing. Just last week, they gave Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene extensive airtime to explain her unhinged call for a, quote, national divorce, which she said would separate red states from blue states.
I don't see middle ground on a lot of these issues. So what is the other answer if it's not a divorce?
Well, exactly, Sean. That's the problem and where we are today. And in my life, in my world, all of my friends are regular Americans. Everyone I talk to is sick and tired and fed up of being bullied by the left, abused by the left, and disrespected by the left. And our ideas, our policies, our ways of life have become so far apart that it's just coming to that point.
And do you expect it'll happen? Last question.
Well, I think it's something that we should work towards because, you know, it's kind of the vision that our founding fathers had for America.
A national divorce? A national divorce was the vision of the founding fathers. I know because I time traveled in a semi-conscious state and talked to them. How about this? Instead of a compromise, this will be the compromise. Instead of red states getting a divorce from blue states, America gets a divorce from green. She's definitely dressed for it. Remember when she showed up to the State of the Union screaming at Joe Biden in a white fur collar like she was demanding sole custody of the Maltese? You hand over Clarabelle right now! I'm the one who fed her organic chow and put bows in her hair!
The Dominion lawsuit has exposed yet again that the people who constantly accuse the rest of the media of lying are themselves the ones who knowingly lied to their viewers. They took their cues from, among others, a guy who always looks like he's about to
time travel in a semi-conscious state.
This has been A Closer Look.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Is a talented singer and songwriter you know from both his solo career and work with One Direction. His third solo on the show will be out in June and available to pre-order now. He will also be a coach on the newest season of The Voice, which premieres March 6th at 8 p.m. here on NBC. Please welcome to the show, Niall Horan, everybody. You're here, my friend.
I'm happy to be here. Huge fan of the show.
I was very lucky, to work with you about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You fellas were on the show, and we did a sketch. I was on set for where Paul Rudd was the number one. There we see Paul. And I've spoken for years about how you were the nicest group of guys. And, I mean, you were fairly young at the time. Was that an exciting thing to do?
Oh, yeah. It was crazy to be part of SNL on a few occasions is so cool, but that particular weekend Paul was hosting the show, and the Anchorman crew were there. They were promoting Anchorman 2.
You got to sing with the
segue.
This is two of the great casts of all time.
Anchorman being, like, no joke, my favorite movie of all time, and to be standing there singing Afternoon Delight with that bunch of lunatics was pretty special.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
The other funny thing about the sketch with Paul, I remember, is, of course, we had a great many extras who also were big One Direction fans, and it was the least we ever had to give direction to a group of young girls.
Applause.
Yeah, like, remember when they walk out, like, lose your minds, and they were like, you know, I think we can do that.
Yeah, we can sort that out.
So this is very exciting. You have a new single out.
Yes,
you
I
have
do.
A new album coming. I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of artists, you know, reacted different ways to the pandemic and what it put them through. Did you feel like you wanted to start working on new music right away? Did you give yourself a little time? Because it's been a while since you, about 3 years?
Yeah, exactly. I know I'd released an album the day we were told we were going into lockdown. Some would say that was great timing. but it was one of those things where I'd released an album and then that happened and then the tour got cancelled. So I was thinking, like, I was kind of just angry at the world like we all were.
Yep.
So then I was kind of sitting around waiting for something to happen, waiting for the creative juices to flow. Took a while. And then once it came, it opened a door for what is now a finished, you know, finished product record.
Very exciting. I wonder, obviously you work on these songs and you know, there's a lot of post-production on the music and then you finally get it to a place where you're happy with it and then it gets released to the world. Are you someone who, do you sort of anticipate the reaction to it? Have you already moved on to the next?
No, I'm just always so nervous. Like, it's the biggest cliche. You know?
Yeah.
And whenever you work on something, you just obviously want it to do well. Like, but we have no idea. Especially these days, it's hard to know. What it's so competitive out there. I'm lucky enough to have a strong, solid fan base. Having said that, you still don't know. So I'm just like, after 3 years of not releasing music, there's that, like, please do good.
Yeah.
But the reaction to this single, first of all, has been ridiculous, which makes me feel a lot better about the record.
There you go. It's very exciting. And now this is really exciting because you talked about your last tour being cancelled. You're going on the road this summer and you're doing a great many festivals, which is different than sort of doing a more sort of conventional tour. Are you excited about festival life?
I think that was what the main thing I wanted to do. When I was finishing off the record, I said to everyone, like, I would love to just do a summer of festivals, especially having spent so much time away. It's good to get back in front of people in that way, you know, like, and go all over the world, and we're doing them all over Europe and Japan and a couple here in the States. And, like, it's just going to be good to feel the love. And I'm a huge festival goer myself. I've been that drunk guy.
Yeah.
Standing in my welly boots in a field going, who's that up there? I like the sound of that. So that's why I wanted to do it. I could get some new fans here, Seth.
Well, absolutely. Well, this speaks to the level of difficulty of a festival because obviously, you know, you have a group of people who are all music fans, but, you know, specifically, they might be less there to see you.
Correct.
Like, they might be there to see the person before you, the person after you. So you do have to win them over. And I think it's really impressive that you want to take on that challenge
because
you don't necessarily have to, but I think that'll be so exciting.
No, it's a great way of getting, like, new people, as you say. There's a solid group there, but it's you know, I'd love to invite more people into the world.
Do you feel like you get to meet and hang out with other bands in the festival world? Is that one of the upsides?
Yeah, no, they're always good. You meet people that you had no idea you had anything in common with, and before you know it, it's 2 o'clock, and it's been a good night.
Yeah. And as Europe, is it buses around Europe when you're doing festivals?
Yeah, there's a lot of, because they're so far apart, all the countries, you do have to do a lot of flying.
Yeah.
When we're in the States, it's a lot of buses.
Do you enjoy, is bus life, because I feel like there's something a little romantic about it, maybe for the first 3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You're like, you've seen Spinal Tap twice, and now you think, you know, that's how it's done. And then it's like 105 degrees in Houston, Texas. First week of July and it's sweaty and you've woken up and the air conditioning's broken. It's just like, maybe not as romantic as I thought.
One place that's very well air conditioned, I've heard, is the studio for The Voice. So yes. Congratulations on that gig.
It's Baltic.
How did this come to pass? I'm assuming this is a situation where your phone just rang one day and they reached out.
Literally. Phone call from the producers, Audrey and Kira. And they just said, before you even say anything, just come in and meet us. And they explained how the show works and all that good stuff. And I was like, yeah, let's just give it a go, see what happens. I've been on a show like that.
Of course, yeah.
So I understand how it works. It was just a challenge, something that I wasn't expecting.
Right.
You know, a great time to do it before, you know, I've got a record coming out. And you're going to be sick of my faces. sick of my face. It's been so fun. Just like, we were very lucky with the crew of coaches that I'm with.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been horrific. You know, you're sitting there every night pretending that you like the person you're sat next to. But I got very lucky in Blake Shelton alone.
Yeah. Now, I would imagine, too, having gone through a show like this, you must have... Because obviously it looks very exciting what we see on television, but you obviously are in this situation where you can have empathy with them for what they're going through, because I think we all maybe forget how stressful it is for an unknown artist to, especially in a room like that, to be in front of four very accomplished, very famous singers. Yeah. They must feel nice knowing out and being like, oh, I know Niall's been on this side.
Yeah, I guess that's a part of the room. That was a big one.
Yeah.
It's a good... I think that's how I got half of my team, because they understand that I've got that empathy with them. I was, you know, there's 17, 18, 19 year old people coming on here.
Yeah.
And I was that 16 year old, just kind of knowing that person there has got my future in their hands. And it's that's the hardest thing about The Voice, is like, I have to make in-game decisions over two singers that are standing in front of me, knowing that I have their future in my hands. And that's the part that I've, like, the empathy side of me. I hope I don't lose it, because I would be heartless if I did lose.
Well, I think if you want to know what it's like to be without empathy, that feels like probably what Blake Shelton is, right?
Yeah. After 12 years, 12 years and 23 seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's stone cold.
He's stone cold. I'm a man who, this is his last season. Yeah. Obviously, he's had a great amount of success on the show. Whenever he's here, he is not shy about bragging about his success. No. Has he been giving you a hard time? Because he also seems very good at that.
Yeah, that's all he does.
Yeah.
Anywhere. to everyone that will listen to him or don't want to listen to him. He's just constantly just nailing everyone.
He's a very charismatic and affable bully.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he is. But he's an absolute beauty, and you know, he's going to be missed around that show. Like he is the voice, probably in his head too.
Yeah.
but he's so good to work with, and yeah, he'll be missed around there for sure.
I mean, I think one of the reasons the show is so exceptional is the, you know, the connection you guys all have together and the chemistry.
Yeah.
Do you feel like when he leaves, do you feel like you will have a good Blake Shelton impression? Do you have one yet?
A Blake Shelton? I feel like a politician every time I do it.
Yeah.
It's my last season on The Voice, and I would love if you would be on the last ever team, Blake. And he says that to every single person that comes out. Win, lose, or draw.
Yeah. I will tell you, I know you said you felt like a politician, but when you said that and looked at me, I was like, I want to be on Team Blake. It totally worked. It was very convincing.
I need a catchphrase.
Yeah, you got to work on it. Hey, man, what a pleasure to have you here. I really can't thank you enough. And congratulations on the new music. Niall Horan, his new album, The Show. It's available for pre-order now, and The Voice premieres March 6th at 8 p.m. right here on NBC.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. Once Upon a Beat.